FBI Radio and Fire Up are proud to present a glittering new season celebrating the barbaric ballet that we call Rugby League.
He must feel pretty confident with that additional bulk he's put on. Now watch the defence, it'll be fairly violent, I would imagine.
And now the Gladiators hobble, aren't he, with the left forearm. It was as nasty as we've seen for a long time.
A little bit out of character, he's a very clean player.
Manly slumped to eighth on the ladder.
It's just rubbing salt into the wound.
You can see the head clash there.
Oh, very nasty.
And the crowd love it. They've all taken their angry pill. This smashes him to ground. The one-handed pass back inside.
With a delicate kick.
And he smacked their bottoms with a beautiful bit of football early. Thank you, Mrs. Robinson. Another little slanging match.
He's only 5 metres from the line.
And he's hurt on the burst. He runs into a wall.
Certainly got some forearm in it for some damage done to him with a boot or a knee. But my heavens, he's really bleeding.
He's come out of it very much the worse for wear.
Bleeding like a stuck pig out there.
And the crowd's starting to go wild.
Oh. Intercepted.
Shows it. Goes outside. Steps again. He gets it down. It is a try.
Yes, it's a try. It's a sad, sad commentary on the mentality of some of the idiots that follow Australian sport.
Now, please welcome your muscle-bound maestro, Stephen Ferris, and
Chris Gayle.
As they fire up.
Yeah, this is Fire Up. We're on the front foot. Chris Gayle, on time. We're at it. We're fresh. We're feeling okay.
I'm reinvigorated, Stephen, because I went overseas.
Yes.
And you know what happens when you go overseas?
You feel reinvigorated.
And you find out you actually value what's most important. Yes, and to me, what's most important is
perspective.
It's the NRL, being here for
the
rugby
NRL,
league.
Yeah. I'm afraid, though, we're the bearer of bad news. Uh-oh. It's officially halfway through the season.
Halfway report card?
Yes. Look, the world is in crisis, Chris. You know that. I know that.
Turmoil.
That's why you went overseas, to test the waters, to find out what level of crisis are we at around the world.
When Boutros Ghali calls you,
yes,
you answer.
You do.
We went over and we did a sort of one of those red zone things. What's wrong? How can we fix it?
Yeah.
And look, the report card on the world right now, not encouraging.
The world of pop music, how's that standing up?
Well,
shaky.
It's very. The entire Asian continent.
The entire continent.
Is now in the thrall of EDM.
Wow.
And 5 years ago, that wasn't the case, and there was still hope. I mean, J-pop, K-pop.
Yes.
I thought we were going somewhere, but now it's saccharine. It's bland.
And you might have got an instant sort of take on this with the Manchester Benefit concert.
Yeah.
There was all that horrendous pop music, only to be saved by a Gallagher at the end. A Martin in the middle, and was you two somewhere floating around in all that mix?
They're always floating around somewhere. Did you hear that Noel's come out today?
Oh, don't start up the bloody battles between the brothers again.
Because, of course, Liam went him for not showing up,
and
he said, wasn't invited.
Wasn't invited.
Of course, if I had have been, and much to his credit, he's donating all future royalties, not past royalties,
no,
mind you,
future.
But all
great
future royalties of Look Back and Anger.
So Liam's a Cronulla supporter.
Very, very keen on the Sharks.
Is a Melbourne supporter, right?
And of course,
trouble afoot.
And of course, that was the problem. I mean, how could they get together for a concert when they knew that Sharks v Storms was
weekend.
Coming up this weekend?
Look, I did send I thought he might have been in town, a Ben Mendelsohn invitation this week, just in case.
Yeah, but Emmy winner.
Yeah, but he was too scared that they were going to lose again. The sheer level of hatred that builds up in Ben Mendelsohn, that's his awards. That's why he's so good.
That's right.
He's
able to channel that emotion.
And when they started, term that phrase, referee Smith, I mean, he lost it then, Ben Mendelsohn, because that was enough. He said, I'm walking out of this joint. I'm never coming back to Australia.
I rung Shane Flanagan after last night's Sharks loss to the Storms.
Flano.
And I've said, you think you're smart with that label. We all know he's President Goat. The president of, the Melbourne Storm, Queensland, Australia, and now the Rugby League Players Association.
So greatest of all time.
And also the greatest of all time.
Also
President Goat. Referee Smith, it doesn't wash with me.
No. Okay, so Melbourne are riding high. Granted.
Do you know they did it without Cooper Cronk?
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And does this mean that Craig Bellamy, former coach of the Blues, is now prepared to make his selection policy contingent on improving the chances of Queensland and Origin?
Wow.
It's the fix is in, I'm telling you.
Okay, so the world is in crisis.
Turmoil.
Rugby league's a mere reflection.
It's a mirror.
It is a mirror to the world. And officially, halfway through every season, it's normally clockwork. You know, it tells you really what's happening. The code is in crisis officially this week. How do we know this? Because Buzz told us. Now, there's a history to this code in crisis moment. As you know, Chris, we've been here monitoring at Fire Up for many, many years now. And it goes way back. Look, I'm just trying to think of some of the names. Roy Masters.
Yes.
Might have been the man to call it.
Keeper of the Flame, keeper of the code in crisis.
Yeah. Look, I think Ian Walsh may have had his handle on that years ago.
One of your mob.
Yeah.
Became a great journo after he played footy.
Alan Clarkson.
Oh, me and my mate John Osborne, who's a Dragons tragic.
Mm. Don't you hate him for that?
I'm going to publicly shame him on this show one day. Yeah. And just
as if you haven't already.
The extent of the hatred. But he and I both agreed that when Alan Clarkson was on Controversy Corner, because of that very deep, sonorous voice, he goes, "Well, Rex, I very much think that Eastern Suburbs are a chance," that we thought that he was smart. And we worked out as we grew up that it was the deep voice that got us.
John Laws.
Didn't know what he was talking about.
No, yeah. The same thing.
Yeah, but he got to write about rugby league, and we respected him for that.
Yes, yes. A lot of men have got away with murder with great voices, haven't they?
They have.
Yeah. Not Adolf Hitler.
No. Well, he was a harsh, shrill voice.
He was, but it worked in its own way.
For a while.
For a while.
Didn't end well, though, apparently. The world, you think the world was in crisis now. It was in a crisis when he was around.
Alan Jones, Kyle Salen, take note. It won't end well.
And, of course, I see that direct through line, of course, yes. From Adolf Hitler, Alan Jones, to Kyle Sandilands.
Won't end well. So, Roy Masters, and then it all took a nosedive. And then Ricky Stewart became the game's greatest thinker, as we know.
How great was that?
How great was that period?
Where Ricky Stewart was an ex-player, a coach,
yeah.
And our leading journalist.
Our leading journalist at the same time. And he was proud of it. And it was acknowledged, officially, the game's greatest thinker.
But the media can be so harsh, and journalism is an industry in flux. And how sad was it to see his byline going from game's greatest thinker,
yeah, GGT,
just to thinker?
Yeah, just to thinker to nothing.
And then just to Ricky Stewart.
Yeah. I'm only guessing that whoever sort of took over... I mean, who is lurking in the shadows that goes above Ricky's desk and just takes down the sign that says, game's greatest thinker, and then puts back thinker?
Yeah.
And then takes down thinker? Puts nothing up.
Well, I assume it'd be the editor of large of the paper for the sport.
Yes, but I think lurking behind that, there's even a greater power, isn't there?
You're not talking about...
Gus Gould.
Oh, yes.
I think Gus is behind all this, isn't he?
I think Gus is completely behind all this.
Everything. Isn't he Spectre?
He's the top... He is.
Is he?
He's Blofeld.
Smirsch?
He's Blofeld.
Yes. Yeah. What's he stroking, though?
there's been speculation about Gus and stroking... pussies, I guess, is what you're trying to say there.
Well, some sort of furry animal.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
That's right. Well, Panther now, I imagine.
Panther now. Yeah.
Can you imagine Gus's office out there at Panthers, World of Entertainment? You just walk in and you want to say, Monsignor Gould, it's so good to be with you. My family sends
a ring forward.
Yeah. That's right, puts the ring forward.
And freaking Panther there.
On his lap.
But you remember when they couldn't find the Panther? Remember it was always sighted, like the Tasmanian tiger?
You know.
And Putin style. Gus stripped down to just his jocks, right? And went racing up to the hills, the Blue Mountains, looking for the damn panther and caught it. Tackled it.
Tamed
dragged it. Tamed it. Dragged it home. What does he feed it?
And now it's just got live rabbits and so forth out the back of the Rugby League Academy.
Yes.
And, of course, sometime host of this show, A.H. Cayley, is delighting in the fact that there's been a big cat sighting down Illawarra way.
Has there?
And, it's a leopard, apparently.
Ooh.
And because the Illawarra feeder team to the St. George Illawarra Dragons / Steelers doesn't have an emblem at the moment. So.
Is there a Steelers team anymore?
Well, it's just Illawarra.
Yes, yes.
So the Illawarra leopard is being looked
for. The steel industry isn't what it used to be, Chris.
No.
Hardworking Australian.
We're a services economy, Stephen.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
There's no future in secondary industry in this country. Fact.
The big Australian is no more.
BHP is now the diminutive Australian, I think.
So there is Buzz. Buzz has the right.
Editor at large. Sport.
Editor at large. No, sorry. There is Gus. He has the right to take down the sign of the behind the scenes. But really, up front now is a man called Buzz.
Right, that's right. Because Gus has to see the sign.
Yeah.
So what's the process by which Gus is seeing the code and crisis
Gus
sign?
He's a great man. He's not going to be the man that's going to be actually touching the signs, is he?
No, of course not.
So when officially the code is called in crisis by Buzz Rothfield, editor at large. Why is he an editor at large?
Because they... No one likes him in News Limited, so they won't give him a desk.
No desk.
Yeah, so he's... You know that... they call it activity-based working now.
Right.
Which is another word for saving rent. And all these professional firms say, you need to be nimble, you need to not have a permanent desk. I'm sure you've always felt that in your career.
Yes.
I'm never really permanent.
Yeah.
And so, therefore, Buzz actually doesn't have a desk in the News Limited offices. He just sort
of floats. This is Kippack Street, right?
Yeah, he's got a little trolley.
Yeah.
And he just looks to plug in. Well, I don't think in Buzz's case it would be anything as sophisticated as a laptop.
Plug in?
It'd be his electric typewriter.
Yeah.
And he floats around the sports precinct of the News Limited office in Kippack Street.
And shoot away occasionally.
Yeah. Well, you can imagine. I mean, it's not very smart to imagine people going, Buzz, off.
Yeah. Buzz, off. He's not very savory sometimes, is he? Is he?
He's a survivor, though.
He's a survivor.
I think he's got 3 stents in the heart. He outdid Paul Kent on the punching competition on the TV during the week.
Destiny's Child, they wrote that song about him. Didn't they?
Is that right?
Yeah, yeah.
And well, in fact, it's no...
First time they came to Sydney.
The Buzz Rothfield, Kelly Rowland rumours start here. Yeah. I think he was the reason she came out to do The Voice.
That's right. Buzz, he's got his fingers in all sorts of things. But
tremendous.
Anyway, officially this week, he goes, why the ARLC boss John Grant had to go from the game.
Supreme leader.
Right. In the end, John Grant had no choice. The writing was on the board. There were all these bosses that were teaming up against him. The states were against him. 3 officials told Grant the clubs wanted him gone. The only way to move forward was for Grant to go. So he made the decision. Now, of course, Buzz was saying most applaud his decision, Greenberg in particular. Well, that's incendiary stuff, isn't it?
It is very much so. And can I just read the quote from Todd Greenberg?
Can you please?
In his email about acknowledging John Grant's work, this quote, and I am sure many of you will remember that John Grant took over many of the CEO duties 18 months ago after the departure of Chairman Dave Smith.
Mm.
While maintaining his role as chairman, I know that's confusing for people, but that's the way the NRL and the ARLC operates.
Yes, you've lost me already.
If you go through Todd's words, this... just a description of what John Grant did. There's no praise or outstanding service or tremendous achievements. It's just he also did what ended up being my job.
So he had a lot of roles.
He was multitasking.
Right, but doesn't say he was doing them well or not.
None of them, apparently. I think Buzz gave him a somewhat generous...
Okay, well, let's get to this. He goes, it's been the game's worst kept secret that the pair repeatedly clashed. One of them had to go. Fortunately, the right one quit. It's a pretty harsh thing to write, but Grant will not be remembered as a good administrator. I'd give him a 2, possibly 3 out of 10.
Wow.
I mean, Bo Derek got a what?
10.
10.
She was a tremendous administrator.
Yeah. I mean, what would you give Jane Fonda and Barbarella?
Nine?
Johnny Weissmuller as Tarzan.
I'm a huge fan of Barbarella. I actually went to a Stereolab concert at the Metro.
That's why I brought it up.
All right. And they played Barbarella from start to finish on one half of the split screen.
How could you watch anything else?
And Barbarella from the finish to the beginning in reverse on the other half of the split screen. They can do that.
Where does it meet in the middle?
It was like a Chibamato film clip. The excitement when the two images crossed over was surreal.
Oh, yeah.
And Jane Fonda and Barbarella, can I do this? Can I Spinal Tap her?
Yes.
So to speak, if that's the right thing to say, 11 out of 10.
11 out of 10. Does it go up to 11?
Plus, she's politically active.
Absolutely. And does great workout.
Tremendous
workout.
Gym tonic.
Yeah. Apparently, Can You Feel It was on one of the original tapes, and there's an upward left movement of the leg, which most of the ladies hated that song because that was the moment they had to work hardest.
Right.
Did you know that?
Were they the Kegel exercises or something like that?
Yes.
I didn't know that. I haven't personally worked out to a Jane Fonda aerobics tape, whereas you clearly have. And can I say, have reaped the benefits.
Yeah, absolutely. Look at me now.
Fantastic.
And look at Buzz. He's not looking so hot, is he? He's like a beetroot.
This is the trouble. Buzz has not worked out that sure you can be involved in R&B and Destiny's Child and Beyonce and Lemonade
stuff. Sure,
but it doesn't make you look fit.
No, it doesn't.
You've got to get under the Fonda's tapes.
Yeah. Which is, we'll get to the sad state of Buzz's office or non-office and his role there in a minute, but he's having to go at the NRL big time.
Yeah.
Right. So,
Potshots.
In 2017, Rugby League would have, this is what Grant said, would have 700,000 participants. We've got 225,000 only.
And that's including touch football, which is not really Rugby League.
It just tells you, though, the mental grasp of Buzz Rothfield, that he can work those numbers out so quickly. I can't do that.
No.
It says here the game would have $200 million in the bank in a future growth fund. Instead, the NRL has to get a $50 million advance from Fox Sport earlier this year and is now about to take out a $20 million bank loan. What do you know about that, Chris?
Well, they've gone to all the big four banks.
Yes.
They've been turned away.
Sounds great. Turned away? What?
They said, what's your security?
I thought rugby league was the goldmine.
They've offered rugby league as their collateral, and they've been laughed out of all the big four banks.
Yeah.
They've gone second tier, the sort of the Bendigos and the Hong Kongs and so forth.
Sheesh.
And again, very, very tepid reception.
Yeah.
So as we noted a couple of weeks ago, there's some interesting gentlemen in safari suits and patented leather suitcases and briefcases, alighting from cabs outside Rugby League Central and Driver Avenue with some exotic financial terms.
Safari suits.
Throwback to the 70s.
We're talking cash now?
And we're not necessarily talking in Australian denomination.
No.
So there's a bit of a margin on the exchange rate.
Bitcoin.
That Bitcoin, that's right.
That'll get us through.
That's right. We've got a $20 million Bitcoin loan.
But this is the exciting bit. Buzz says, dare I say it, but the game is in crisis.
Well, there you go. The alarms are going.
Yes.
Call Gus.
There's only one man who can say it, and that's Buzz. And, of course, Buzz can only say it if Rupert says so.
Right.
Now, Buzz then, of course, has to turn around once he's said it. He's got a slowly trek down the corridor, down the steps, into the basement, down there at Kippack Street, and find the light switch. And there's some bloke down that's been living there for many years saying, yeah, what do you want, Buzz? You want that sign again? Yeah. So he's looking for the banner.
Right.
The banner's in a cupboard. And he's looking for a lock and key. Can't find the keys. It's quite an episode, this. Get his damn banner, coding crisis. And everyone goes, here comes Buzz. You know, there's a slow clap going on. Up comes the banner, you know.
It's time to shine in the air.
Yeah, I mean, really, a guided tour to see this banner would be, I think, spectacular.
Imagine the numbers would turn out. It is our holy grail.
It is our holy grail.
What gets us out of bed each morning.
Yes, yes.
The chance to see the Code and Crisis banner.
Yeah, I know. And Fire Up, we've investigated the cupboard that had no silverware in it that Cronulla had.
Yes.
You know, dusty old thing that it was. Now they've got some paltry piece of silverware. And we've investigated where the Book of Fuse was kept. You know,
that's interesting.
10 monks were protecting it.
That's interesting.
Yes, and only Russell's got the key to that. But this Code in Crisis banner, I think it's red writing on white canvas.
Uh-huh.
It's pretty mucky by now.
Right, sort of reflecting the St. George livery.
That was a low shot, Chris.
I'm sorry. You know, but there is an old maxim in the game. When St. George is doing well, rugby league is doing terribly. That's my experience.
Yes. I was in tears in 2010, Chris. Somebody was happy.
Yeah, somebody was happy.
Okay. So, Grant's biggest mistake was the appointment of former CEO Dave Smith to replace Dave Gallagher. I remember actually working the function to launch the season when Grant was first introduced and David Gallop was there. And I remember seeing Grant nearly elbowing Gallop out of the
really?
Way to be introduced
really?
To
that's,
everybody.
That's small.
I remember thinking, something not quite right about this man.
You saw it early.
I saw it early. And Chris, if I may, would you mind reading? I dug this out. This is our 2016 Fire Up Manifesto at the beginning of the season 2016.
So the lights are out in Driver Avenue.
Ooh.
So Sheriff Grant, now Supreme Leader Grant, of course, has cleaned out the dead wood.
Yes.
And is handling all the extraneous roles himself. Multitasking.
Yes.
He's peddling in a sweltering bunker for energy, designing the new logo, Final Cut Pro-ing the new ad, and taking calls from Wayne at the same time.
Yes.
Keep going?
Yes, please.
Cost-cutting is the new hashtag history happens. Power to the people, says Grant, copying Mao's lines. Let them work for their bread and circus. Make a video, write a song. I'll play it while Allianz burns.
Wow. He did it his way.
He did it his way.
Fire up.
The final curtain. You can't. I'm not the queer. I'll state my case. Of which I'm certain, I've lived a life that's full. In each and every highway, and that much more than this, I did it my way.
I did it my way. had 25,000 people in New York City. I asked them, are you fired up? And they were all fired up. And I asked them, are you ready to go? And they're all ready to go.
Well, Sid was ready to go.
He was ready
to go. He's gone, though.
He's
left the house.
He's done it his way.
And Frank's gone. Frank can't complain anymore.
I thought that was Frank.
From the grave.
Yeah, that's how out of touch I was. And when Sid goes, today I killed a cat, I thought maybe that something might happen with Gus Gould when he's unhappy.
Today I killed a cat.
up at the Rugby League Academy with his panther.
I'm sure John Grant could come up with some things to say, I did it my way.
He and certainly did do it his way.
He did. And it is the most popular funeral song of all time.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
for blokes anyway.
Yeah.
I don't know what that version is.
But my favourite thing about the Grant...
Sid Vicious, we salute you.
We do salute you. Very much so. My favourite thing about the grand announcement, of course, where he goes, I want to inform everyone that I will be I will be leaving my position as chairman of the ARLRC in February 2018. It's a little bit of an anticlimax.
Yes. Yeah. So we've got to suffer through a summer.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes. Meanwhile, the coffers could be dry by the end of it.
They're very much so. Very much. Well, I don't know how those Bitcoin things are going to translate.
No, exactly. I don't know about your team, the West Tigers, but you'd be putting your hand out for some dough, wouldn't you?
Constantly.
Yeah.
every day I get an email from the Tigers saying, come on, chip in. We need some bus fare.
Yeah, right. And John Grant's just shaking his head. Not going to give it. No.
We haven't got anything to give.
Now
you can't give when you haven't got it, Stephen.
You haven't got it. Where's Cam Lani when you need him?
All the 16 clubs are there knocking on the door saying salary cap 10 million.
Who's got some money
plus 30%? And Grant goes, I haven't got the money.
Damn.
Won't people listen?
Yes. Now, look. The code is in crisis, and you can officially say that because we're between two Origin games. Come next week, it won't be in crisis.
No, we'll be focused on Origin.
We'll be fine.
Yeah, we'll be great.
But right now, it's in trouble.
Yeah.
And many teams are in trouble.
The litany of teams are in trouble.
Yes. And one of the great moments, I think, recently is the disaster that is Canterbury Bankstown, right? and let me count the ways, because you must be loving this.
Yeah, the destruction of the Evil Empire is something we at the Rebel Alliance have been.
It all started when they stopped calling themselves the Berries, let's face it, you know.
Wasn't it a simpler time? The hoop blue and white jersey, the CB logo.
Yes.
I was personally affronted when they introduced that ugly-looking bulldog.
Bloody ugly,
Is that got any reference to Australia? You take a team like the Tigers or the Dragons, both Australian indigenous creatures.
Exactly.
But bulldogs,
you get out of the caves down in Illawarra. Dragons everywhere.
Dragons
everywhere. dig around. Can't miss them.
And who didn't have a pet tiger
exactly
around Balmain Way when they were growing up?
Yeah.
But bulldogs.
You know what I heard on radio last night? Do you know what the national animal of Scotland is? Anybody?
Loch Ness Monster?
The unicorn.
Oh, there you go.
And that's why it's on the goddamn arms, you know.
That's a rugby league club that shows courage if they adopt the unicorn as their emblem.
Listen, I'm going to give out the text right now for the SMS number for Fire Up here. It's 0409. Write it down, 945-945, because we're going to do a poll soon.
Okay, interaction.
Interaction, yes. We're going to interact with our 10 fans. I think we might have 11 if we can count a great man that we met the other night. We'll talk about that in a minute.
Sure.
But 10 at the moment.
Yep, great.
But 10's good. We can do a good poll on 10.
Of course, unfortunately, 7 of them podcast.
Yes, they're not there.
So that's
going right
to reduce our catchment area a little bit.
So we'll be getting a text in 2 days' time, will we?
That's right.
You're right, okay.
So we'll keep the lines open.
Keep it open. 0409, write it down. 945-945. We'll put it to you in a minute. Now, Desi Hasler. Now, this came out the week before the big loss. What was it, 38-0?
38 blot.
Was it the greatest loss at home or some record as such?
No, I think you might be thinking about New South Wales' greatest winning margin up at Suncor, if I don't want to rake over those hot coals in front of old coals in front of Bronco Reg. But, yeah, certainly it was a historic loss of monumental proportions.
Yeah, to Penrith.
Yeah,
38-0. Now, let's just go back before that loss, right? Now, last week it said it has been 1,851 days since Des Hasler gave his Bulldogs a spray.
Wow.
Now, what is a spray, Chris?
It's
officially in rugby league.
A verbal dressing down, Stephen. It's in the toolkit of most coaches.
Yes.
Because coaches are meant to be dispassionate,
clinical,
methodical, and players get used to a certain emotional tenor, and then the coach will change the gears in order to stimulate a reaction from the players.
Mm.
Because as Jamal Idris once said, rugby league is a simple game played by idiots.
Yes.
And go, I'm angry, I'm furious, I'm disappointed and angry and furious. And the players are out, oh my goodness, this is serious. So it's mock anger.
Yeah.
full of swear words, which we won't repeat, even though we failed to give a language warning for the Sid Vicious song.
Indeed.
And it gets a great reaction out of the players and it will guarantee a superb performance on the park that weekend.
Well, Peter Fitzsimons disagreed.
Oh, okay.
He said support, love, you know, general encouragement, pat on the back. That gets better results than a spray.
What would he know?
Now, you're big in sort of management level.
All over it.
You know, training. You know, what have you found works?
People like praise. They like recognition.
They love it, yeah.
Always,
people are pretty weak, really, aren't they?
If you go into a salary review as an employer, the important thing to say, look, I've led the research. Mm. You've done a fantastic job.
Yeah.
Fortunately, I can't pay you anymore. And people go, that's what I want. Pat on the back. Yeah. Thank you.
Maybe next time.
Yeah, they go, thank you, Mr. Ferris. Appreciate your time.
Yeah.
I'll come back next year looking for more praise. They do love love. They don't want to be yelled at.
No.
They don't like hate. They don't like bile. They don't like invective.
Interesting, isn't it? Yes. So, 1,851 days since the spray. Josh Morris says, I think one is coming.
Like winter.
It would have to be close. And yeah, it is something we'd all like to avoid.
Sure.
Okay.
Because?
Well.
Dez is a good sprayer.
Sprayer. Exactly. Now, it says, on Sunday, the charismatic man will become the 10th coach in history to rack up 350 games when they played the Panthers. So it was looking to be a big game.
Milestone game.
Milestone. Now, for a man who's kicked in dressing room doors, belted benches, and covered coaching boxes in spit, surely a blast.
You're talking about Craig Bellamy, right?
Yeah, well, most coaches, yeah. Surely a blast would be one of his most well-used weapons, but apparently not. Apparently he savours, he picks his moments in a big way. His personality doesn't always come across in the media. Not really, says Morris. He's actually an extremely funny man. We heard the same thing about Wayne Bennett, haven't we?
Yeah, he's
hilarious.
Does stand up as a little side.
Dave Chappelle.
Chappelle Corby, Wayne Bennett.
Yeah, funny people.
Tremendous. What a great bill that would be.
Yes.
You'd pay money to go to that, wouldn't
Max
you?
Max Markson. Come on.
Are you listening?
Yeah. Forget about Clinton, you know. Either Clinton. He has a dry sense of humour. Now, the Americans don't get that.
No. Dez would not play well in Vegas.
No, they took him on a tour, didn't we?
Yeah.
No, they just sort of silenced. You know,
Dez Hasler across America speaking to
us. Dez Hasler.
Financial disaster.
That's why Max won't touch him. Can't take him overseas.
Yeah, he's not scalable, as we say in business.
He has a dry sense of humour that takes a bit to get. I don't think a lot of the young blokes even realise he's funny at times. The old boys certainly have a chuckle at him.
With wisdom comes a deeper humor. Sense of humour.
Yeah, because it's you understand you lose a bit in life, you know, the sense of irony at like, you know, the foibles of life, you know. It'll throw a few curveballs at you. You get it, you know.
What growing up and getting older means is life experience and a realisation you're getting closer to death. And if you can't laugh
at that.
You got nothing.
Monty Python, the greatest song of all time. Eh?
I like Chinese.
yes, and that's not racist.
No,
he unleashed the Bulldogs in 2012 when Canberra suffered a round 10 defeat to the Gold Coast Titans. He picked up a chair and slammed into a wall, smashing it to bits.
The wall or the chair?
Both.
Right.
Both. He can be intimidating when he needs to be, Morris said. The last big one was back in 2012. We were dull and playing without energy.
Right. Okay. So, I tell you what. If you've got to wait some 5 years between sprays and they're as paint-strippingly withering as that...
It must be, though.
The players, like the vets like Morris, must be walking around on eggshells, must they?
Gotcha. Yeah.
A little jittery.
No wonder they're not playing so well, really, because all they're doing is waiting.
I know.
You know? It's on tenterhooks.
Delayed gratification.
What does tenterhooks mean? They're on tenterhooks.
Isn't that song by Peter Allen? Tenterhook Saddler or something?
Tenterhook Saddler. From what I remember, this is Josh Morris, that is what tipped him off. There was yelling, personal stuff, the lot. The lot, Chris. And many of us hadn't seen anything like that from him before or in their lives.
Or since, apparently.
Or since, yeah. That's all right. In 87, the paint stripper scared the Bulldogs into form when Canterbury went on to win 12 straight games. So it does work.
Didn't they slump to their fourth defeat last weekend? So
we were terrified of copping it again. See, he's really on his mind. It's really eating away at him, isn't it? And no one wanted to see him blow up again. 264 weeks after Hazard exploded, Morris is tipping a nuclear reaction. Should Canterbury ruin the coach's 350th match by making it four losses in a row? You'd have to think another one was close, Morris said. A nuclear reaction.
Well, this is interesting because Dez, after the Penrith game, was booked for a fan forum where Bulldogs fans, who, let's face it, are the most reasonable, balanced, rational
absolutely,
fans in the rugby league,
absolutely.
Could submit a series of thoughtful, prepared questions.
Yes.
And Des was unable to make it. Now, the official line was media commitments, but I don't think he gave a particularly long and detailed press conference in the wake of that loss. I'd say the spray has been delivered.
Yes. Did you say withering?
Withering.
Did you say paint stripping?
I did say paint stripping.
Right. So God knows what the rooms look like after he's... Not only has he smashed chairs and walls, but he's stripped the paint as well.
Well, they look like Chernobyl does.
Don't leave your kids in there.
No.
Don't take your dogs in there or your cats.
Not safe.
God forbid. No. Nuclear reaction.
Right.
He blows up everything.
And the other reason why I think the spray may have occurred and why your Dragons are in an enormous trouble come this Monday.
Oh, I see, because we're playing Canterbury Bankstown Berries.
Yeah. Spray's been delivered. And Des is booked to do a fan forum later in the week at the Canterbury Bankstown Leagues Club with Chairman Ray Dibb and Aidan Tolman, because James Graham is on media commitments.
Right.
And you know where they're holding it?
The Hill, Belmore.
The Blueberry Hill Room.
The Blueberry Hill Room
at Canterbury Bankstown.
That's got a nice touch, isn't it?
Isn't that nice?
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, what if he lets rip at the fans though? What would happen if a coach did that? Just tipped over the edge and went, "I'm going to strip a lot of you."
I'd write a personal letter of thanks to a coach who actually said, "I've had enough of fans."
Yeah.
It's like the modern parent that seems to be able to run teachers and ruin their lives.
Yeah.
Fans are ruining rugby league by having opinions. Yeah. They're not entitled.
No.
Sure, they pay their money, but that's to watch.
Yeah.
It's not to think. And coaches have got too much pressure.
Mm.
They end up kicking cats.
Yeah. Fans are recipients for merchandise, pure and simple. That's all it is.
They're clothes horses.
Right. Now, I want to get into the mind of this man, Des Hasler.
Are you sure about that?
Yes. So, what is the norm for Des Hasler? Now, we all know he's the mad genius. Well, the genius
is the scientist, the professor, or whatever it is.
Yeah, the professor is not really working, is it?
No.
Says he gets up at 5 a.m. every day. Every day, Chris. Now, we don't know where he gets up. No one knows where he lives.
No. There is actually not a fix on where the Hasler residence is. Yeah.
No. And a man who loves his technology, he won't let one of those beacons be put on his own personal body to be tracked. He knows.
No GPS on Des.
No GPS on Des, right. He's the first one here.
Here at FBI?
No, the first one at Blueberry Hill.
Right, Blueberry Hill, right.
Okay, right. He's in the office by 7. Well, what's he doing between 5 and 7? What does he do? Comb his hair a few times? Kick the cat?
Choose which branded tracksuit to wear?
Yeah, gargle paint stripper. Yeah.
Well, I think he's probably gathering... I mean, he's got massive servers working at his residence, wherever that might be.
You mean computer servers?
Yeah, right, running through all the data from the games.
Oh, right.
And those servers have to churn through for him to get this USB stick that he then takes to plug into his laptop at Belmore, which is a condensed version of the absolute terabytes of data he has about the rugby league game, his own team, and his opponents.
Shush, God almighty. So that's why he's there till 7 o'clock at night.
That's right.
Right, okay. He'll even come in at that time when it's his day off. On Friday, he was here, still analysing for this week's game and also getting to next week's against the Dragons. He's first in, last to leave. He leaves no stone unturned and puts in hours on end. Chris.
They're in 14th place, Stephen. There's something sad about this, isn't there?
Yeah.
If ever there's a cry for help, and rugby league is full of people crying for help.
Yes.
And the code itself crying for help.
But often the person who needs to cry doesn't even know he's in trouble.
They haven't got perspective.
They haven't got perspective. Des is not crying for help. Maybe Buzz could be crying for him to get help.
The trouble about his withering spray was it shattered all the mirrors.
Yeah.
Now he hasn't got anything to look into.
No, they look at it. No. Says he spends most of his time hauled up in a Belmore office cubicle. A cubicle.
Wow.
Yeah.
At least he's got one as opposed to Buzz.
He has got one,
He's just got the trolley.
With the terabytes on the hard drive underneath.
That's right.
Grinding away. He sits behind a stack of messed paper, watching games on an LCD screen. LCD? Haven't gone to LED yet?
I don't know who's written this. LCD sound system screen?
Yeah.
Well, that'd be quite a good merchandise opportunity for James Murphy, couldn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. But I think the thing that...
Could Des do some ads for him?
Yeah. I'm losing my edge. Well, I think Des has lost his edge. But I think if you read in that, the trouble is he's watching so much footage, he's not realising he's watching games from 1997, which is probably not directly relevant in 2017.
Well, you referenced Barbarella backwards in that glorious moment. I think Des is probably getting something whipped up for Vivid next year. He's got 25 screens all running backwards, forwards, sideways, whatever it is. He doesn't know what year it is anymore.
He's still actually going back about looking at the Bobby McCarthy intercept in the 67 grand final and trying to see if I could have done something different to improve the fortunes of the Dogs 50 years ago.
Now, Turner, this is Steve Turner, says, you don't see much of him in the office. Well, I expect not. He just sticks to himself, crossing his T's and dotting his T's. No, I's.
That's right.
He is the most thorough and consistent person I've ever met. Thorough, yes, maybe, in a weird sort of way. Consistent, I suppose, that you can be mad and consistent.
You can be consistently mad.
He's also consistently kooky. Okay. Known as the mad scientist, the 56-year-old is borderline obsessive compulsive when it comes to his superstitions. Hazard will never cut his hair while the team is winning. Did you know that?
That's why he's got a short back and sides at the moment.
Yeah. The former half, also parks his Kia in the same car parking spot at Belmore every day.
It's not marked, though. Everyone just knows.
No reserves on. Nobody ever dares park there. That would really mess up that mind of his, though, wouldn't it?
I'll tell you what, though, that could be exactly the sort of game changer that Canterbury needs right now.
I reckon Flano's up to no good soon. Yeah. What do you reckon? Or Smith, referee Smith, mess with his mind.
They'll pay an Uber to park in Dez's spot to really rattle
him. This could be the chance for the Morris Kiddies after their traitorous move from the Dragons to Canterbury to suddenly sort of turn around and pay back and just mess with him and park in his spot.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that'd be traitorous.
Little scooter in there or something, you know? Yeah. Dez comes in his Kia. Ah! Paint stripper goes off. The whole front of Belmore just is just bleached, you know.
Well, I've been to Belmore, and that whole grandstand it needs a touch up. There's no doubt about that.
Right. Okay. So he goes over with a fine tooth comb with our preparation, and Morris is hoping it's all cuddles on Sunday. Now that was before Sunday.
38-0 later.
Sorry, it took a while, didn't it?
It certainly did.
Now their fourth consecutive loss. Look. The team have now come up with an answer, haven't they?
Yeah.
What is it?
I wouldn't call it Innovation Nation stuff.
No. What are they going to do?
They went out to lunch.
They went to lunch.
And they had a few beers.
And they didn't have to.
No.
Time off.
They chose to.
All right. Now, look, as a sign of how bad, how much they've fallen, Canterbury Bankstown, your man.
DJ Davola.
Yes. He is the man who plays the tunes at Belmore.
The Bulldog Beats.
And this one. Used to be his... this one was his most recent choice.
Okay.
Go. No. No, the other one, please. The other one. Let's go to the other one. So this was his choice. He decided to dump the Baha Men for Akadaka.
Yep.
And how's that gone down?
Well... the word came down that we need to go back to the future.
Right, okay. Back to the future. What was that?
Who let the dogs out?
Okay, let's have a listen. Now, I'd like to put the SMS out, 0409-945-95. Which song would you choose? AC/DC, Australian, Legends, Dogs of War, or The Baha Men?
Construct. I don't even think that's a group.
No.
I think it was like...
European,
like new edition or something like that. There was some sort of Svengali figure putting the band together.
Right. Now, who's made the decision?
Canterbury board.
Right, the board.
They're interfering.
Yeah.
Ray Dibb and his cronies.
Yeah.
I mean, can you imagine the pressure that DJ Davola must be under?
Yeah.
That he's actually made a positive statement, an Australian statement to inspire the boys.
Exactly, yeah.
With an Australian
tune. With AC/DC in times of trouble too.
100%. Yeah. And then the words come down on high. No, we need to go back. That's why we're losing. That's panic. It's panic stations.
Could this be from the superstitious minds of Dez Hasler?
Well, there you go.
You know, a man who sticks to tradition, likes to know that his suit, his hair, his car, all those things have to lock in.
Have we got this wrong from the beginning? That in fact, Dez Hasler is not rooted in science.
No.
He's rooted in the supernatural.
Yes.
And he's
superstitious.
The superstitions?
Yes. Mm. He's a master of voodoo. If he had a voodoo doll, what would it be of?
Possibly himself. That's the problem.
Why not? Fire up. We're back in just a moment.
Fire up! Fire up! Ready to go!
Ready to go!
Fire up!
Fire up!
Ready to go!
Ready to go!
I've found my thrill on Blueberry Hill. On Blueberry Hill. When I found you, the moon stood still.
Sounds good!
That's what we are fired up for.
You could argue we talked about Des too long. I don't think we talked about him long enough.
No,
I mean, there's so much more work to be done there.
He's a complicated man.
Complicated man, complicated team, yeah. But I believe with true heart and true conviction, the spray's been delivered, and you Dragons...
Withering,
paint stripping.
Nuclear, the whole lot.
Volcanic.
Blowed up, volcanic, yep.
St. George is in serious trouble come Monday.
They're quaking in their boots.
Yeah.
Quaking in their boots. Right. Now, look, 12 years Fire Up's been running. 12 long years Fire Up has been going on. Now, it was a common term that many people in sport have used over the years.
Or continue to use.
Now, famously, there were some members of the rugby league community in a cab one morning. Days gone by when they were more colourful.
In Origin Camp.
There were antics.
Coogee Bay.
Yeah. Minicello's phone was used.
Yes.
It was a phrase. Many phrases were used.
Many colourful phrases.
We won't go into them right now. But famously, there was three-toe humans looking for a bit of action, and there was a phrase, fire up. Now, we so loved that whole sort of, that spray on the phone to some unknown lady that we had to like, the work we went through, I think we went through three firms of solicitors to get our hands on that term, fire up.
That's really why you work with Brett Oaten, right? Because of his command of intellectual property and the ability and the insight to option the rights.
Why else would you work with Brett Oaten?
On a generic expression.
Once we got the term out the door, thanks.
Was arguably in the public domain.
Yes.
And he was able to actually secure you the exclusive rights to the phrase.
For a fee of $5.
And my understanding is I know you cry poor constantly on this show.
Yes.
But I know in the background, having now seen the books, that you and he, the royalties are flowing in consistently all around the world for the use of the expression.
Well, you set the mugs. The Atrocity Meter mugs, you've seen those, right?
I slept last night in the Atrocity Meter t-shirt.
Right, the Danny the Dolphin t-shirt?
The Meter t-shirt.
I know that.
I got a Danny the Dolphin mug, I haven't got a Danny the Dolphin t-shirt.
Right, but the merchandise, I mean, it's keeping me afloat. It sends me to Vegas every year.
I keep pitching you and saying, can we do some new stuff? And you go, don't need it. Not necessary.
No. I don't like rugby league. But I love fire up. Okay,
that will be our new tagline on the merch.
Yes, that'll be on the merch.
Bronco Reg, get onto it now.
Now, and of course, you know, it's got the term fire up in it. Now, the man who came up with that term and put us on the map was one Mark Gagne.
Indeed.
Now, of course, we've been very, very reluctant to go anywhere near him again.
Well,
there was
the terms of the restraining order.
There was indeed, and you know, look, he's going to come begging for money. We know that. Right?
Cap in hand,
you know. Now, stuff you may have missed.
Vossi.
Vossi's got a book.
Friend of the show.
Yes. Now, I'm saving that book. I'm going on holiday soon. I'm going to save the book for the plane. I'm going to read on the plane. But stuff you may have missed. And it got a glorious introduction from the man himself, Todd Greenberg. And then, of course, looking around the room that we were, God knows why we were invited.
I wasn't.
You just crashed it.
I was... Your plus two.
Yes.
And I went up to Andrew Voss at the Piemonte's Hype.
Hello Editions.
Hello Editions.
Bookstore. Yes.
Book bar or something,
isn't it? Book bar, yes.
You know, you can get a book and have a drink. There's an unusual combination.
Yes, great.
And he said, yes, you'd be the plus two, wouldn't you?
Nail on the head. Bam.
Yeah, bam.
Yeah. Voss's stuff you may have missed. Now, there were some luminaries in the room, though.
The rugby league cognoscenti, as I like to say.
Yeah. Peter Wynn.
Peter Wynn was there.
Yes.
Blocker Roach.
Gee, I wouldn't want to tackle him.
Either of them. No.
No. Sandwich in the middle. I felt small. I did in that room. There's no doubt about it.
That's right.
Now, there were writers. There were media.
Nick Tedeschi was there.
Nick Tedeschi. That beard is looking good.
He's looking magnificent.
And the
suffering with Canterbury's
form. The legend, Hazem El Mazri.
I had a chat to Hazem.
Yes.
Very nice man.
Beautiful man.
Encouraging him to come
dressing
on the show.
Dressing in Commando Black too.
Yeah.
Looking very sharp.
Ready to go.
Doesn't have to wear a suit.
He was fired up.
Yeah, he was fired up. Yeah.
Jimmy Smith.
Now, look, most of all, I had to profess my my pleasure and my displeasure at the same time to meet the only referee that's come on fire up. Chicken Legs.
Yes,
Chicken Legs Chicken.
The Chechen Rebel.
Yes. And he was in fine form.
He was great, and I complimented him on his performance, even though I'd missed it because I was in Colorado and the game was on at 4 o'clock in the morning. And let me tell you,
you missed it.
Colorado is not an easy place to find a bar open ever, let alone at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Rugby league playing
a Australian sport. It was the proverbial, can I say, needle in the haystack.
You're talking about State of Origin, the greatest game in the universe.
Yeah.
And you couldn't find it 4 a.m. in Colorado?
It's what? Strange, isn't it?
And of course, is it Chechen or Chicken?
Well, you know, that's why
debate.
We've encouraged him to come back on the show to resolve that debate, and I think he will come on. And what a great! I actually think the players actually brokered an agreement at the 20-minute mark to get President Goat to kick it into touch, so they could get a breather because the standard of play,
the speed of play,
wow,
breathless. You're right, and we applauded him for that. And he said he wasn't applauded straight away after the game, was he?
Well, he suggested that it might have been someone up the pecking order is
frowned upon.
Yeah, didn't have such a great game until the media started writing it up, and the tune changed quickly.
Even Colorado, they loved it. The refereeing.
I'm on public record as saying is you go to a place like Denver, Colorado, and they just want to talk to Desco non-stop. Why is he going to the Roosters? Yes. What's the problem with the Tigers?
Yeah.
Why isn't Billy Slater playing? That's why it was disappointing to be unable to find the game on any watching device.
Now, speaking of State of Origin, of course, the next one's happening in Sydney at the home where atmosphere goes to die.
And you'll be there, Stephen?
Hopefully I'll be there. Now, tell me this. Where the Blues normally hold themselves up in Crown Plaza in Coogee?
And then they were in a different venue, you know, the Kingscliff Hotel or something.
Coffs Harbour sometimes.
Something,
Nana Glen, maybe?
Yeah, but generally... a sufficiently discreet facility where you're out of harm and temptation's way because of previous experiences like the Gaz fire-up incident.
Oh, they've gone off the rails.
Uh-oh. Really?
No, they have in the past.
Oh, they have in the past, yeah.
So where do they hold up this year?
Well, they've sort of run the numbers and they've decided that they need to go to somewhere where there will be no temptation, no track record for rugby players getting in trouble.
Yeah, where's that?
The Star.
Bright light city, gonna set my soul, gonna set my soul on fire. Got a whole lot of money that's ready to burn, so get those stakes up higher. There's a thousand pretty women waiting out there, they're all living. Lady luck, please let the dice stay hot. Let me shoot a seven with every shot. Beaver!
Change the world. Thank you, everybody. All right, who wants ice cream? Come get it.
Oh, I think that the man who rules the world has just repealed yet another one of Obama's institutions recently, amongst many.
You don't think he's under a little pressure from the FBI revelations overnight?
Yes, it's Comey, isn't it? He kept notes, as you do. He'd be a very particular man.
I'm telling you, Comey v. Trump smacks of Greenberg v. Grant.
Doesn't it? What?
Really does.
It sees the last man standing. This is Fire Up. Now, look, I've been, you know, there's an endless supply of young kiddies coming into the game. Often you think, who needs to pay big dollars for some of the top players when you've got like the, is it the Nicarima kiddies?
Yeah, it's a brace of Nicarimas running
around. How many Nicarimas are there?
I hear four.
Like Burgi?
Yeah, Cody and Jaden are the better known ones.
Cody and Jaden, yes.
Yeah, there's Nicarimas everywhere.
Now, we know only too well that the down Redfern way, the chicken shop, they have to be on their game. Because the Burgi, four chickens each every morning, right? What do the Nicarimas eat?
Well, there's a new measure of physical dimension in rugby league, which is the Burgi unit.
What sort of unit would I be?
I'm calling you a three-quarter Burgi.
Well, if they eat four chickens, do I eat three chickens every day? I don't think so.
Oh, okay.
No.
So yourself.
I'm a quarter Burgi.
You're self-assessing as a quarter Burgi.
Quarter Burgi.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, on that basis, I believe the Nicaromas are a half Burgi.
A half Burgi.
Two chickens eat.
Two chickens a day each.
Yep.
So that's still eight chickens for four Burgi.
Yeah, but they're
four Nicaromas.
Yeah. I think when you were playing rugby league, you might have been a half Burgi.
Wow. Great news, anyway. Good to see the Nicarima kiddies doing well. Look, what else is happening in the world of rugby league? Anything in the admin area that would really, really take my attention, Chris?
Well, the thing that I love talking with you, Stephen, is the business side of rugby league. We've done a little bit of business speak this morning.
Yep.
I know that I always had your attention captured when I talked about the goings-on at Parramatta.
Got you.
And I can't keep getting you off the phone because you're always ringing up and going, what's happening with the collective bargaining agreement negotiation?
The CBA has really got me
between
riveted.
Between the Rugby League Players Association and the NRL.
But there's some big news there, isn't there?
Huge news.
Yes.
Right, so they had a two-day powwow trying to get to some sort of position.
Yeah.
And a number of the requirements that the players are looking for in the deal have been revealed.
Now, as you know, I believe in power of the people.
Sure.
You know, I believe that workers need to unite. Unions are very helpful. You know, Stalin had it right. Mao had it right. Castro had it right.
You are a triple C, card-carrying communist.
Yes, yeah, spread the wealth amongst people.
The Internationale.
Yeah, the 99% need to have a fair crack, right?
100%.
Now, that's all the players
that's
want.
That's rugby
fair
league.
Crack.
That's rugby league. Rugby league is communism.
That's why you revolt against the man.
That's right. I hate the man.
So what do they want now in their agreement? The CBA representing the players.
You want to hear working class?
I do.
You want to hear tough?
What do they want?
Basic human rights.
I'm thinking health care for the family.
dental care.
Yeah, dental care.
A right to an education.
All that stuff. Yeah. Come on.
A right to a roof over your head.
What do they want?
They want a compulsory 45-minute massage per week.
Oh, lovely. Yes. Choice of masseuse.
And look, I'm not going to criticise this requirement. A creche at the home ground.
A creche at the home ground?
Yeah.
Well, that's a modern thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Everybody else does.
Free framed memorabilia for milestone games.
Free. Framed.
So you get a commemorative jersey on your 100th game.
Yes, yes.
Framed for you. I think this is what Des...
Wait, you mean they've been paying for it themselves?
Apparently. And this is why Des had a spray. 350 games, nothing from the club.
No, well, unless he paid for it.
Yeah, unless he paid for it.
No, but just going to go back one step, please. The creche at the home ground.
Yes.
Like stand in rugby league, when you have your opposition, like when it snowed in Canberra, the rumours are either one... The opposition dressing room is always so cold that they can hardly work when they get out. Or it's so hot when they come out, it's freezing.
Yep.
But those sort of conditions aren't supplied to the opposition team generally. So is the creche only for the home team?
Well, that's an extremely good point. And, I mean, if there's one place that a professional sports person should get an edge, it's around the treatment of the opposition's children.
Yes.
So they actually have a security firm.
Yeah.
And if the opposition, you know, parents rock up with said kids...
Taser them!
Exactly. They're not welcome here.
No.
Absolutely
not. No matter how old they
are. There's a car park out here. You go sit in Des's Kia.
With no cover.
And watch the game from there.
In his Kia. I think he's got holes in the roof too.
Oh, boy.
Okay, so they've got the 45-minute massage, not 46, not 40, 45.
Legislated minimum, yeah.
Right, okay.
And then 1,000 grand final tickets for players. Now, I'm assuming...
1,000?
That's 16,000 tickets in a grand final, which is a huge revenue knock to the NRL.
Yes, if they're going to get that.
Unless they're talking about just the two teams who make it.
Oh, I see, right.
Yeah.
Or 1,000, they've got to divvy it up between all the players. Imagine the fights then. Imagine the WAGs going into a bloody brawl because they can't get tickets.
I tell you, it would be divisive, though. So they gave 1,000 tickets to the 17 guys playing. And imagine if you couldn't give yours away, you'd feel sort of unpopular, wouldn't you?
Yes, you would. Look, it's also came to light. I'd forgotten about this, but one of the Burjos got a kid this
Boston.
Year. Boston. Rolls off the tongue, doesn't
Beautiful
it?
Beautiful
name. Boston Burjos.
What's your favourite kid's name?
I've said this ad nauseum. My favourite child's name for a celebrity, Jermaine Jackson. You know Jermaine?
Yeah, I do.
The eldest son.
I mean, he departed the Jackson 5 quickly.
He did.
Because he married Barry Gordy's daughter.
Barry Gordy, that's right. Mm. And famously tried to convert them all to a new religion. Didn't work.
Epic records.
Your Majesty.
And hence the Ferris youngest is actually called Your Majesty Ferris, I understand.
Exactly. It doesn't get any better, does it?
Beautiful.
Now, okay, so that's they're not bad conditions. Now, there's been... I told you the Cobra's in crisis, Chris. You know that.
Yep.
Yeah. Now, the Roosters released Paul Carter, son of Steve. I think he's gone through three teams in about 4 years.
Oh, or is it four teams in 3 years? I get confused.
Third club in 4 years, it says here. Sacked by South Sydney for breaching the club's code of conduct. He'd been on an alcohol-fueled bender.
Isn't that, like pathways, a modern term? They never got drunk.
No.
You're on an alcohol-fueled bender.
Fueled bender.
So I always see, whenever I hear that, I think of a bunch of people, players drinking Flaming Moes.
Yeah, don't go near the Flaming Moes. And then he checked into a rehabilitation facility in Thailand. Jeez, must be doing pretty well.
I tell you what, the Thai balance of payments in intangibles is going through the roof.
Yes.
Courtesy of the cabin, it's going magnificently.
It is indeed. Now, he's not the only man in trouble. I think there were some others. I think Anthony Watts. favourite son of
Our good friend.
Our good friend Anthony Watts, of course, who was hanging out with some bikies or colourful identities, wasn't he?
I won't even say allegedly. I think he was. Yeah.
Okay. It says here, Anthony Watts, sentenced to 12 months jail for assault, walks free today. So it's good news for all. So maybe the coding crisis is on a turn.
Because while this was being processed, he was in pokey.
Right.
In stir.
In stir. Okay. It says here, the order requires Watts, now that he's free, he's got some conditions, to live in New South Wales because he got into trouble in Queensland. That's what Queensland does to you.
Mm-hmm.
Turns you no good.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yep.
Reg? He has to be supervised by police and undertake courses. I don't know. I mean, boy, George had to undertake courses, didn't he?
Yeah, after he locked that guy up.
Yeah.
And then talk about redemption. He's DJing at Darling Harbour on Monday.
So you're thinking Anthony Watts could be a coach, a voice?
I think he could be a DJ at Vivid next year.
A DJ next year, you think?
If he takes the right courses.
Right, the right courses.
Because let's face it, it doesn't have to be complicated. Yep. DJing's not exactly rocket science,
no,
is
no,
it?
No, not with a sync button.
DJing's not rocket fueled, if I can say that.
Well, it can be. So, yeah, it has to undertake some community service, which could be some rocket fuel and DJing, etc. He was charged with common assault and dangerous driving, and then waving a gun, and then assaulting a 73-year-old man, and then fleeing police, failing to stop.
And he's walk free?
And he's walk free.
That's fair enough. That's what our society should be.
Chris, we want some sympathy, please.
Why is that?
Well, it says here, the court heard from his solicitor that he was mentally ill.
Okay.
He'd been unwell at the time of the offences, and that he was now being medicated, and his mental health had stabilised.
Well, that's good to hear.
Good news.
I'm happy about that.
I'm happy about that, too. So we're all happy. I think Farah's happy. The code is no longer officially in crisis. I think, Buzz, you can take the sign down.
And what do the punters have to say about the Canterbury crisis? If the code's no longer in crisis...
Oh, yes. Okay, so he thinks... Well, one of them says both songs are shit.
There you go.
Now, someone says The Foes, Dogs Are the Best People.
I love that better. Song.
Graham McQuaid, thank you. Dog Food by Iggy Pop.
Why not?
Why not? Ray Dibb, yeah. Dog Food. Come on.
Wouldn't the Melbourne Storm's anthem be Search and Destroy by the Stooges, wouldn't it?
Search and Destroy, yes. Yeah,
last
exactly.
night down
Referee
there.
Smith. Shark
Park.
Yeah.
President Goat.
And Agadaga. That's the thing. Thank you, Chris. We'll see you next week.
Thank you so much, Stephen.
Okay.
So tune in again next week when we invite a veritable breadline of nobodies and wannabes to flesh out another rip-snorting roundup of rugby league shenanigans, slander and smut right here at the home of radio's most fatuous footy confab. Fire!